The Beijing Olympics this summer are sort of China's coming out party as a modern global power. But in a recent article for Portfolio Magazine, journalist Josh Kurlansik says that the Olympics may also be the catalyst for the next anti-government revolution in China. This time, the potential revolutionaries aren't poor farmers and peasants or downtrodden workers. They're professional, internet-savvy homeowners who are very angry over being evicted to make way for Olympic venues, shopping complexes, highways, and upscale housing developments. Josh, thank you for joining us.
Sure, no problem.
So what kind of protests are going on?
Well, there are a lot of different types of protests. I mean, I think one of the things that's like poorly understood about China is that there's tens of thousands of protests every year in China, which is a huge number, some years over 100,000. So you have everything from just a few people who get angry about being forced off their lands to protests where there's thousands and thousands of people, and sometimes they'll attack local officials or riot against the police. I mean, some of the disputes, you have really violent disputes where you've had people throwing bombs at police and police shooting back at them. They can get very, very angry.
Yeah, you wrote about some 90-year-old woman who climbed up to the roof of her house and refused to leave, and she was waving bombs at the police, right?
Yeah, she was waving a firebomb, which, like, I'm not exactly sure. That's not so uncommon because, well, I don't know, 90-year-old women throwing firebombs is probably uncommon, but you have a lot of disputes where people have no other way to resolve their dispute. They can't really go to a court, because the courts are totally biased in the favor of developers and the party, and they can't really appeal to local officials, so their only resolution that they hope for is either to go to Beijing and protest or to protest at home.
Now, Josh, just briefly, what is the difference between eminent domain in China versus how we understand it here?
Well, I wouldn't really say that there's eminent domain in China. Basically, if a party official or a big developer wants your land, they're just going to take it. In the U.S., I mean, there's eminent domain where the government can use land for public purposes, but they have to go through procedures like local laws to ensure that the land is used correctly, laws that allow people to petition against the land. They have to pay you a fair compensation for your land. None of that really exists in China. Basically, the government or powerful developers, often with the government, can just take your land, and if you're lucky, they'll give you some modest compensation for it.
But largely, is the government just kicking people out of their homes and not compensating them at all?
It varies. I mean, depending on how much power and influence the people that they have being kicked out are, then it depends on basically how much compensation. So, like, if you're trying to kick out middle-class, wealthy, politically connected people in Shanghai or in Beijing, you're probably going to pay them compensation because you don't want them angry. But if you're trying to kick out poor people in some small city who have no political pull, a lot of times thugs will just come and throw them out of their house. So it varies.
And have these land grabs have increased with the upcoming Olympics? Is that right?
Well, they definitely increased in Beijing because basically now you can have any project and the developer can claim that it has some relationship to the Olympics and throw people out. And then also because the Olympics is like genuinely popular with a lot of Chinese people, and it's seen as a point of pride for China. If people protest against the Olympics, then you can just say you're not a patriotic Chinese citizen. A patriotic person would just give up their home for the Olympics. So there's two reasons. But in China, most of the richest people are real estate developers. In cities like Shanghai, the growth rate is so enormous that you have an entire city the size of New York City or bigger that's been built across the river from old Shanghai in just 15 years. And particularly if you don't need to pay the people to take their land, you can make even more money. So massive developments go up in an incredibly short period of time.
All right. So you're telling me there's no subprime crisis in China right now?
Yeah. I mean, there are some people in China who fear that it's a bubble, but that's a long way down the road.
And you were mentioning that the protesters who may be politically connected might be compensated when their houses are taken. What is making, in general, this group of protesters different from those in the past?
Well, what makes it different is basically in China, you've had a lot of protests for a long time, primarily by poor people in rural areas. They don't really threaten the government. But in big cities where you have politically connected people who know how to use the media, who have a lot of money to spend on protests, that's really seriously threatening to the government.
in your article, you talk about meeting with this very young, hip woman who owns a clothing company. And when she started trying to get legal recourse for being kicked out of her home, she was beaten up and had to be put in the hospital. And her lawyer was jailed, right?
Yeah, her lawyer is a pretty famous Chinese lawyer who was in jail, and he's still under house arrest. He basically lives in his house in Shanghai and can't go out. The woman who was actually, she was fighting for her family's house that was taken.
Okay.
So she was roughed up, and she basically had to leave. She got an exit permit to Hong Kong, which is part of China, but it's a special administrative region, so you have more freedom there. And her family did get some compensation, and they have another house. So that is not an ideal situation, but you have people in rural areas in China who protest, and they're either, one, their land can just be taken, or two, people just beat them or sometimes kill them with no recourse at all. So getting some compensation is better than your family being thrown off their land or potentially killed.
Josh, can you hang on a second? We have to take a break.
Sure.
After the break, I want to hear how you think these middle-class protesters might actually create a revolution in China. Also coming up, U2 versus Hannah Montana, a face-off in 3D. That's in a minute on Fair Game from PRI. This is Fair Game from PRI. I'm Faith Saley. I'm speaking with journalist Josh Kurlansik about whether middle-class homeowners will bring about the next political revolution in China. Josh, is that true? Could these middle-class homeowners actually begin a revolution with real consequences for the government?
Yeah, I mean, I think what the Chinese government generally fears is that the people who have the most money and power will someday turn against it. Because right now, those are... As much as you can say that a government that doesn't allow people to vote has some support, those are the type of people who would support the government because they've profited from China's economic
growth. They're invested,
growth.
Yeah.
They're invested in the economic growth.
So are these protesters managing to communicate online and mobilize each other?
Yeah, often. I mean, not only about land protests, but about others too. But a lot of times you can communicate by SMS, by text message, because that's harder for a government to tap or to get into, and you can use a text message to assemble really quickly over something, or you can do it online. Or a lot of people in China use Skype because it's also harder to tap Skype because it's through the internet. So like a lot of dissidents that I talk to, they won't talk to me on their mobile phone, but if you do Skype, they're willing to talk to you.
Now, you actually got some interesting texts when you started investigating this story. Can you tell me about them?
Sure. I did talk to one woman who was just willing to talk on her mobile phone, which was obviously tapped or intercepted, because then after I talked to her, my friend and I started getting all these sort of pseudo-threatening text messages, which surely came from the Public Security Bureau, which is not exactly the police. It's more like the slightly more menacing authorities in China.
Yeah, but specifically, the text you got said the people you were interviewing were taking drugs and destroying China's honor.
Yeah, that's like
which
a rough
worse,
translation.
Which is worse, Josh? Drugs or honor?
Well, probably destroying China's honor is probably worse than taking drugs. But, I mean, there were other things, too. I can't remember all of them, but that was like the main ones, that she was destroying China's honor and things like that.
So, Josh, we're just learning now about the Great Firewall in China and how censorship has increased even more in the past few months. What kind of effect do you think that's going to have?
The Great Firewall is basically the most comprehensive internet filtering system in the world. So if you enter a certain number of phrases in Chinese, you can't access websites. And there are some phrases that you would think are obvious, like Tibet and Falun Gong and Dalai Lama. And there are others that only if you sort of understand Chinese protest, you would understand why they're filtered. So it has an impact, definitely, as well as they track certain people's internet usage. Even like Yahoo was willing to give up the the internet account of one of the most famous Chinese dissidents, which is not really admirable. But you also have quite a lot of remote servers and other things people can use to get around them. So it has an impact, but less so than it would in another country like Burma or something like that, where you have a lot of censorship, but also you don't have many people who understand how to get around internet censorship. Mm. So in China, you have a lot of people really educated about the internet, so they can get around it. It's just, it's definitely cumbersome.
Still, the Great Firewall of China is not a place I'd like to visit.
Yeah, well, you know, I wouldn't have a problem because in English, they don't really care except for a few things.
Now, Josh, you wrote a book which came out a few months ago entitled Charm Offensive, How China's Soft Power is Transforming the World. This doesn't sound that charming. Your book is about how China is using tactics like diplomacy and trade incentives, you know, to improve their image to appeal to the rest of the world. But this land rights abuse, don't you think it has the potential to greatly tarnish their soft power?
Well, a lot of problems in China have the ability to tarnish their soft power. I mean, they have all sorts of other serious human rights abuses as well as the worst environmental crisis in the world. But a lot of that isn't really well understood in a lot of places. It might be okay to be understood in the U.S. or Western Europe, but people in other places don't really get that much media coverage about it.
Well, let's talk about media coverage. What's going to happen in Beijing this summer? The cameras of the world are going to be turned on that city. And you write that there'll be a massive, you know, dragnet to corral these dissidents.
Well, that's already started for sure. I mean, the pattern that you have already before the Olympics is that they'll round up prominent people who they have concerns about demonstrating and keep them under house arrest during the entire time of the Olympics. Already, a few prominent people have already been arrested. The New York Times had a story about one of the most famous human rights advocates who was arrested a few weeks ago. He was already under house arrest, but he and his wife were now basically arrested. That's definitely going to happen. I mean, no one doubts that. That happens before every big event in China, and this is the biggest event in modern China, so they're probably going to round up thousands of people.
So it's kind of a double-edged sword because it seems like media attention during the Olympics is a weapon that the protesters could use, but it's also the weapon that will get them put in jail.
Yeah, and also I think probably, I mean, I'm sure that on the Olympics coverage there'll be some coverage of China's problems, but most of the coverage will probably be that China has grown so successfully so quickly and Beijing is sparkling even though it has a lot of problems and they're hosting this Olympics that goes off very well. I mean, they're very good at planning large events. And so probably, like, on balance, it's good for China's image. I mean, I would be really shocked if there was some huge protest that was able to come to Beijing without the notice of the Chinese authorities. But, I mean, it is definitely every activist who has a cause related to China thinks this is a great opportunity or maybe the last opportunity to make their voices heard about it.
And Josh, what does China think of you now? Have you made some enemies going over there?
No, I think my image is generally all right. We got a Chinese translation of the book sold and a decent print order. I mean, in the book, although I say that there are some problems with China's rise in the world, I think they're also pretty happy that I say that they've gotten a lot of power in a short period of time. So when there's been media coverage of it in China, it just says that I say that they have gotten a lot of power in a short period of time and don't mention that I say that there are problems with that.
Yeah, but Josh,
so it's kind of like mixed.
Josh, do you take drugs? Because I'm getting an SMS text right now that I may not want to talk to you.
Yeah. No, I think it'll be all right.
Okay. Josh, thank you so much for joining me.
Okay, thanks so much.
Josh Kurlancic is a journalist and visiting fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. His article on land grabs in China was published in Portfolio magazine. You can find out more about him on our website, morefairgame.org.